and welcome to Two Fat Expats, the podcast that will fill you up with fat ideas on how to live your expat life to the fullest. Today we're talking about friends, both old and new, and how to stay friends in our expat lives. I've asked you all about this online and you've said the usual things. You've given me all about the technological how, things like Skype and Messenger, WhatsApp, Facebook and Snapchat. But what I really wanted to know about was the deep stuff, the stuff we women do so well. What do you say? What do you do to keep your friendship real? And you came through. Some of you have the most brilliant ways of keeping your friendships alive. And today, Nikki and I are going to share them while adding a few of our own. So I'm in Doha this week and the lovely Nikki Moffat has just arrived back in Hamburg after a week in Prague. Yes, Prague. How are you, Nikki Moffat? How is Prague?
Oh, you know, it's just Prague.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Honestly, all the other places that we've visited so far since I've been here, Amsterdam, Scandinavia for Christmas, all that kind of stuff, I've been there before. I've done that. You know, it was nice. I saw some new things, whatever. But I have never been to Prague.
Yeah, look, my
what are going on?
I've heard my parents went to Prague, and they, you know, this was 20 years ago. They're still talking about it.
Well, it's amazing, and it's like honestly, it's. I was really like, oh, you know, I've been to Europe. I traveled around Europe, you know. But when I was on doing my European travels, my Eurail pass didn't take me to Prague because it wasn't part of Europe at the time. But it was amazing. And it's so, so beautiful. And another thing I think that's really interesting is it wasn't bombed during the war at all.
Oh.
And so many European cities were bombed during the war by one side or the other or whatever. There were two raids apparently that bombed Prague. One was a mistake by the Allies. They thought it was Dresden because Dresden's actually quite close by, and they bombed Prague by mistake. And there was another one, but it wasn't bombed, so everything is still there. And like, honestly, it's amazing. We just had the best time. There are so many tourists there. I can't tell you. And it's February, freezing cold. It was raining most of the time, but honestly, so many tourists. I would never go to Prague in summer.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Czech Republic. But I asked the guy yesterday who we went on a tour of the castle, which is in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest castle in the world. And it was built over many, many hundreds of years. Just amazing. And the guy goes, yeah, 8 million tourists come through here in summer or something. I was like, oh, God.
Holy. So what is it that makes it so pretty? I mean, you're there in winter. Was it the colours? Is it what is it that makes it so?
Well, it's just that it's the old just goes on and on and on. So we went and travelled with our kids. So, you know, they don't always like, you know, the walking tours and the this and the that. So we did a Segway tour on one day. And Segways have been banned in the old part of town, which is probably fair enough. So we went sort of to, and when I say the old part of town, I mean, you know, like the very ancient part. Mm. So we went to another area where we sort of did another district on a Segway. And it's just the houses from the late 1800s, early 1900s. There's just rows and rows and rows of them. Like it just, it's so hard to explain. I don't know. It's just, and they're all painted different colors. And I don't know. It's just,
so
I made a video.
The actual housing is colorful, so it wouldn't matter in the winter because you'd still get the color of the buildings and things.
I'm sure in summer it's even more beautiful, and I'm sure, and I've no disrespect to anyone that visits in summer or is planning to go this summer, go. It's amazing. So, but there was this one group that we passed, and it was from a country, possibly in Asia, and the tour guide held out a stick that had a stuffed animal on the front of it, and then there were 20 or 30 people behind them with selfie sticks with their cameras on, and just walking in a line, and we were just bawling about ourselves.
And did you guys drive there?
We did drive. It was just a handy 6 hours away, which actually It was fine. You know, you go on the autobahn, so the husband's happy because he gets to drive as fast as he wants and tries not to kill us all. And, you know, you drive through places you haven't seen before. I mean, we haven't driven as a family. I mean, the kids, they get over it. But we listen to a lot of podcasts.
Good. Okay. Well, we can talk more about the podcast at the end. So today we are talking about some long-distance friendships. Nikki, are you a person who has a best friend, or do you spread yourself out? How do you stay in contact?
I'm a spreader. I call myself a spreader. I used to worry when I was little that I didn't have a best friend.
You've never had a best friend?
I have never had a single best friend. Never.
Wow.
Okay. Does everyone feel sorry for
me? Tell me this, because I've had the best friends, you know, when I was little, where we've had the massive falling out. If you haven't had the best friend, have you still had the falling out with friends?
Oh, I went to boarding school, Kirsty.
Oh, yes. the weekly fallout.
That's correct. There was 12 boarders for 6 years. We were always, one of us was always on the out. But we're still all very good friends now and keep in contact. But I think, I don't know, I wanted to have a best friend, but I never had that. I would have two or three close friends, so I'd say, like, we'd be a group. I think I've said before that I like to have different groups because I'm quite social and I'm an extrovert. So I've always had different groups of friends, and I don't know. It's just a thing. But I do have some very close friends that I keep in contact with, that I have kept in contact with since I left Australia. And we do it in different ways. It's just one of those things that I have different friends that I keep in contact with in different ways. What about you?
Yeah, well, I guess I have a definite group of friends now back at home that are, you know, have been my friend since I was, you know, 14. And having said that, a couple of them I met when I was really young. Like, I have one girlfriend who I met when I was 2, and we are still really tight and really close, and our kids are the same age and they're friends and whatever. But when I think about it now, and I hadn't thought about this until 3 minutes ago when you said you'd have a friend, but I think I might have been a serial best friend person. Do you know those girls that have a bestie? Yeah. So I think I always kind of had to have a best friend, and I could reel them off who those people were, do you know, from different stages of my life. So they didn't always last forever. And I guess now I think, because when you've moved as many times as I have, I guess I probably did have a best friend for all those different locations and times of my life. There was always one person that I gravitated to the most and spent the most time with. But then, of course, I have all these other friends that I do text, emoji, send video clips to, private message. You know, I have other friends that I'm like that constantly, always just sort of touching base. Anyway, our friend Nadia, she had a great suggestion on the 4 Kids 20 Suitcases page. And when I was asking how people stayed in contact, she said WhatsApp and Facebook for sure. But she said recently her and a bunch of friends tried a house party, and I'm totally going to do this. And house party is an app that allows you to video chat with multiple friends at the same time. So she had 5 school friends that got together and did it. And Nadia has a blog where she's written about it. So we'll put a link on the Two Fat Expats face.
I'm torn. I don't. See, I'm not a talk. I'd love to talk. I'd love to talk to myself. I love to talk into this microphone. But I don't know if I'm going to video. Like, I don't know. Although I like the idea, but I'm a WhatsApp group person. But I'm going to read her post, and I'm going to look into the app, and I'll see if I've got any friends who are interested.
You know, I totally agree with you with the not a video person, because I'm not either. Like, when people want to Skype, I always want to audio Skype. I don't want a video.
Yeah.
I don't like video Skyping really with anyone. because I love...
You certainly don't do it with me.
No, never. But I like...
Which I'm very happy about.
Yeah, but I like to walk around the house with my phone and keep talking and keep doing, do you know? But, yeah, I'm with you. But I think for something like this, because you've got to think about it, the name of this app is the party room. So, and you're having a house party. So the idea is that you and your friends get together and you are sort of having, like, I think it's a good way of having an organized get-together. Like, we are going to meet at this time at, well, obviously it doesn't matter which place you're in, but we're going to meet at this time and we're all going to take 15 minutes to sit and chat. And I think that's what makes it cool. It's an event.
Yeah, true. I get you. And I'm not discounting it, Nadia. I'm going to look into it. Jacinta Montgomery perhaps is a little bit more my speed. She has a very close friend in Oz and they send each other messages on pictures they see on Instagram that makes them think of one another and that they think the other one will like. So she said it's a small thing, but it always makes me feel like she's always still there. And I agree. I've got friends that I just see something, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to send them that message. And I might not have talked to them for months or years. And I'm just like, oh, you know, like maybe not years, but, you know, I'll just send it. I'm like, oh, thought of you. And I have a lovely, lovely friend in South Africa who does that all the time on WhatsApp. She'll just send me links to articles and things.
That's
just to start a chat. Yeah. And if I never reply, it's fine. If she never replies to me, also fine. It's just like, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of you.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I always send my girlfriend, Benny, picture. She barracks for one football team. I barrack for the other. But
Sorry. Are we talking about Port Adelaide? I'm sorry. Should I get actually Sam's home today? Should I get him in here to sing a version of the Crows song for you?
No, thank you. But the captain of Port Adelaide's a guy called Travis Boak, who is very hunky. There is a point to my story. But even though Penny is a Crow supporter, she cannot deny that Travis Boak is far hunkier a captain than hers. So I quite often send her pictures of Travis with little notes, you know, saying, hey, Penny, come join me on my boat. Hey, Penny, you know you like me. You know, things. And especially for her birthday. She always gets a Travis Boak picture for her birthday.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay, so Andrew Robertson, and I'm not sure if this was Andrew or his wife Erica, because they are currently holidaying in Nice, and I'm not sure if she has his Facebook profile open, but it said her suggestion of how to keep in contact with friends was drunk dials. And then she said, on that subject, Kirsty, we haven't done one for a while. And it's true that Andrew and Erica are very good friends of Greg's and mine. And we're big fans of the, hey, it's Friday night and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. This would be a great time to have a chat.
Yes. And see, the couple friends, you know, they're rare and so they're very special.
Yes.
Because you can all four of you talk and they are a very special friendship.
And do you find yourself with couples, like, because we love Andrew and Erica and we both miss them equally, but we're terrible at comparing other friendships with that, you know, oh, well, or new friends that will meet someone new and that will, oh, yeah, they're no Andrew and Erica, are they? It's terrible.
Oh, my goodness. Well, my husband actually rates countries by how many friends he had. Well, I had a few friends in that country. I had a few more in that one. Oh, I had that one. You know, here he doesn't have someone he can call yet on a Friday and go for a beer. So it's kind of, he's like, oh, I wish Andrew was here. I'm like, that's three countries ago, dude. Like, you really need to get up. Nikki Scott. So Nikki Scott says, I find it really tough with my best friend who is a non-expat. So that's one of the things that we talked about. You know, you're an expat and your friend is not. The first 4 to 5 years away, it was rarely two-way communication, but she pushed and pushed and she'd email all the time. And that was pre-smartphone days. And she'd try to call every couple of months. So she'd always block off time with her on a home visit and reiterate this idea of short, regular emails. Now she's doing much better. And now they use WhatsApp, which is awesome. I love WhatsApp. It might be the best app ever. And now she even FaceTimes sometimes. She said it's been tough, but it's lasted 10 years. So I think Nikki has put the hard yards in. She saw a special friendship and she wanted to keep it, and good on her.
Yeah. That's cute, though. It's almost like she's egging her along, like, and then she learnt what's happened. And oh my God, then we were on FaceTime. Yeah. So Shelley Friedman said that, I always call Shelley Friedman, I think it's Fredman. Shelley, you have to get online and tell me whether I'm saying it right or not. Shelley uses Facebook, iTime, Skype, emails, WhatsApp, and cards, and she said sharing photographs. Sometimes she'll flick people photos of simple things like her tween's artwork or a view from a walk. I reckon that's really important because people need to see sort of where you are and what she's doing when she's out and about. She said she makes Skype and coffee wine dates just like she would if they're in the same city. So she'll say, you know, so are you free next Wednesday for a chat? And they'll both get on and, you know, have their wine and coffee together. And she's very clever because she does group Skype chats. I've only done work Skype chats. I've never thought to do a group one. And iTimes at parties or gatherings, depending on time zones. And that's the killer, isn't it? It's the time zones that get rid of it.
Yeah. That's why the 2 a.m. drug dial is good, because it doesn't matter. Yeah. You don't care at 2 a.m.
Yeah, you don't care that you're drunk and they're completely sober.
But you know what Shelley could do is she could send us a message on SpeakPipe.
Yes!
And then that way we would know how to pronounce her last name and we would hear Shelley's voice.
That's so cool. So Shelley, what Nikki's talking about when she says SpeakPipe is on the Two Fat Expats website, twofatexpats.com. We have a little microphone. If you click on it, you can send us a message and we'll hear it. Do that, please, please, please.
There you go. Now, Veronica has some good advice. Veronica says, remember, everyone has busy lives, and not to take offence when someone isn't in regular contact, and then just make the most of the time you have together.
Yeah.
Which I'm all for that, Veronica. Hear,
hear. Yeah. Look, I thought Tracy made a really good point too. She said, thank goodness for technology. It's the only way to stay part of one another's lives and keep the friendship strong. You do lose some along the way. And she put, especially those who choose not to be on Facebook.
Who are those people?
Oh, those people drive me nuts. It's like, dude, come on. You don't have to do status updates every day, but do you know how painful it is when we want to do a group message for a catch-up we're having and you're the only one that's not there?
And you don't have your phone number from 20 years ago, which is the only one I can remember because it was before.
Yeah. I know some people, I don't know. I mean, they... Do you still have friends that aren't on Facebook, Nikki? Apart from
I do. Well, I have a girlfriend. She's got a Facebook account, but there's no point sending her a message or
anything.
There's no, when I see her, see, that's the thing. I'm an oversharer, so Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's all there. Prague, take a look. Anyway, when I go and see her and catch up, it's fantastic because she has no idea what I've been doing, so I could talk about myself for the last. Everyone else, I'll say, oh, I'll tell you this funny story. They're like, yeah, no, I know that story. I read it on Facebook. So then I have to think about, whereas with her, I'm like, hey, here it is. And I mean, I also love hearing about her family too, obviously. Sally Target said, communicating by all the same things, phones, emails, WhatsApp, Facebook, and a card by snail mail is my favourite. There's no excuse for not keeping in touch with the ones who touch you.
I love that expression. And I also love Sally Target. We were expats together in Jakarta, and she's brilliant at keeping in contact. And even when I was in Melbourne last time, we didn't have time for a catch up, but we had a phone call. And just that feeling of you're sitting in Melbourne, but you know she's somewhere nearby, it's totally worth just making the phone call. Okay, you can't see everyone, but yeah, it makes it special. So Rachel Davis, and I really like this one, she said it's tricky for sure on catching up. WhatsApp, Skype, Facebook are invaluable tools for expats. I also think that a little extra gesture can go a long way. And what she was getting to, and this is why I love this so much, is she said a really good friend from Doha who moved to Canada recently sent me a hand-crocheted baby blanket totally out of the blue for my impending arrival. It made me cry. And then she tagged in Samantha Thompson. And I know Samantha Thompson. Oh. And I just thought, oh, that's gorgeous. And then Samantha Thompson got on the Facebook page and she cried as well. So it was lovely.
Excellent. Lots of crying this week. Fantastic. Fiona Marshall said, make sure you schedule time. WhatsApp is great, but also schedule holiday meetups. That's nice. We have friends from Melbourne who now live in China and we're in Tanzania. I'm not saying Tanzania. And we both lived together in Dubai at one stage. We meet in Tuscany during the summer holidays. We hadn't seen each other in over 4 years, but we Skype regularly. It's all about making an effort and keeping in touch. There were a lot of people who talked about, you know, girls' trips or family holidays.
Yeah, I agree. I think you've got to... Okay, so you move back to your wherever and they move to their whatever, meet halfway. And I think that's a great idea. You can still have those family holidays and you can still have those catch-ups. So we also had Holly, and I would have loved to have had a chance to talk to Holly, but our time zones just didn't work. But she has a best friend of 22 years and they've been separated for the last 19, and they talk regularly, and she said they're always there for each other. They both met when their husbands were on military duty and they were stationed far from home in Hawaii. Can you imagine? She said we moved, then they moved, then we all added children, that they've not lived anywhere closer than 5 hours away from each other since. Both their husbands left the military years ago and now both work in the corporate world. But her girlfriend's now in America and she's in Singapore, and while their lives are sort of vastly different, they're still best friends. They make a point to see each other whenever they can. But sometimes that might go for a few years. And she said in capital letters, we share everything with each other. No holes barred, even if they have different opinions on things. And she said, I'm a lucky, lucky girl.
Oh. And then her friend Laurie also commented, and Laurie said, I think because I grew up in the military and married military, I know when I meet someone if they are a keeper. I have 4 best friends and none of them live in the same state as me. Thank God for Facebook Messenger.
Wow.
Now, there you go. There's someone with more than one best friend.
Yes. I think I'd have to say that about mine too. I would class all of mine as equal besties.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Then maybe I've had a best friend. Right. I'm going to throw back my previous comment. All right. But then you did interview someone.
I did. Now, these guys are best friends. And I think if you've got relationship goals, you need to have a good look at Denny and Bonnie. So,
Hashtag relationship goals.
So Bonnie lives in Qatar and is Canadian, and Denny lives in Canada. And they met 35 years ago. And I think what's really interesting is when I spoke to them, I didn't realise it was actually a slow burn when they got together. They worked together for a few years. And they worked together as in a summer job that Bonnie was doing while she was at university. She'd go home for the summer and do this job, work with Bonnie, and then she'd leave again. Work with Denny and then she'd leave again. And she said the first year they didn't do anything together. They just worked together. And then the second year they had, you know, a few catch-ups and a few drinks. And by the third year they had become fully fledged friends. They were both in each other's weddings. They've got a great story where Denny got married first, and then by the time Bonnie got married, Denny wanted to make sure she wasn't pregnant. She was about to take fertility drugs to become pregnant, and then Bonnie announced her engagement, thought, phew, oh, I better not take them until after. She then found out that she was pregnant, and she was pregnant with twins, and they were due on the day of the wedding.
Oh my God.
So she had a great story of, you know, she ended up having the twins a week before, and you know, she was in the wedding and had, you know, twins out in the back with someone. One was in the hospital and one was out in the hotel room while she was.
Oh my gosh.
But she said their relationship has kind of got stronger as their kids have got older. They're both close with each other's husbands, or they both were. Denny's husband, Don, actually passed away last year, and they'll talk about that in the interview. But one of the things I wanted to mention, because I thought this was beautiful, is Denny's husband, Don, always said that their house was full of life when Bonnie got there, and that the house was always so happy. And that Denny used the comment, "You don't have to do real life stuff when Bonnie's here. You just hang out," which I think is classic friend stuff, is it, when you're just sitting there? Anyway, I started the interview by asking if I asked Denny if she could remember Bonnie ringing her and telling her that she was going to move to Qatar.
Yeah, like she'd been talking about it, right? Like, I want to go overseas. So when she was actually doing it, I was like, oh my God, you're actually leaving? Like, it was like, oh my God. She didn't believe it because I talked about it for what, those 11 years, right? Thinking it's going to happen. Probably. Oh yeah. What, I was like, this can't be happening. Sure. You can't go that far.
Yeah.
It was exciting, but it was like, oh my God, this is going to be so hard to, how are we going to do this?
Yeah, because we didn't have the phone thing like we do now.
Yes.
Yeah, and so
that was going to be my next question. So you didn't have, you know, your iPhones and whatever at that stage, did you?
No.
Like, how were you guys talking back then?
Well, I bought that Canada number, that Vonage, or one of those other phone plans that you had a Canadian number to make, so they just had to dial a Calgary number, and it was supposed to phone me here, but it was really shifty. It didn't work all the time. You know, like, it was, you had to be really patient to phone in that, but it was worth it. Like, it just, well, the connection was terrible half the time. You only got half the story. You made up the rest.
And then I had free calling in Canada, right? So it didn't cost any money to phone her. It just was, sometimes we got a lot of muffled calls, but we made it work.
And you try over and over, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes the phone would ring 20 times, and one of the kids would say, well, at first they'd be like, who's phoning you? And then, and after a while, it's like, oh, Bonnie's having trouble again? Yeah. Who else would be phoning every time?
Can you explain how you think it's changed for you guys being able to communicate over the last 10 years?
Well, I remember Skype. I would just, Jenny could never hook up Skype herself properly. So I would just Skype her I would do the Skype thing to phone all the time, and it was so cheap. So that was always me phoning. I always had, and you'd get a text. You know, I text her first to see if it was okay because, you know, we didn't have this. You did it that way to see if it was okay to call. And I would Skype her. But she never Skyped me. She didn't know how. She still doesn't.
So I'm just waiting on the other end of the phone. I love to call. Just waiting and waiting.
But this new time, like with all this, how it is now, it is so amazing. Like we can phone driving, which is illegal. We can do phone any time. Like that is, you know, from any country, so it changed completely.
Well, so, and I just wherever she goes, I just put the time on my phone. Like when she's in the Philippines, I just put that time on my phone. I have Doha's time on my phone. I have, you know, wherever she is, I add that time to my phone. And then I know what time it is to phone her. So I'm not phoning her at 2 in the morning.
How often are you guys talking to each other?
Well, daily when I'm in Doha. maybe the odd time twice a day.
What do you guys talk about?
Every single thing.
It is amazing.
You have no idea what our oh my God.
Like it ranges from, I was thinking of that earlier. I was like, because people say, how do you talk that much? I'm like, I don't know. Like I honestly don't, I don't think there's anybody else in the world that I could talk to that much. It would be crazy.
But we actually do, we don't just sit on the couch and eat bonbons and talk. We're actually doing things while we're talking. Like I've been cooking or putting my makeup on or, you know, doing, we're working as we talk. Like not just sitting at the table talking.
We're not just sitting around talking. No, I am right now.
Like roommate.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm getting ready for work in the morning. But it's just, you know, our lives are very, like she moved and then, you know, you hear about Doha, so I had to go over there and see what it was like. Because, you know, you hear about the souks and you hear about this and you hear about that. And then when I came back, I said to Don, you have to go experience this because it's hard to, you know, because now we're talking about it together. You don't know what the souks are and stuff. So we went over there. And then like then with everything that's happened with, you know, with Don being sick and then Don dying, like just all that stuff. I don't know. There's so much change always happening in our world.
Yeah. And I wanted to touch on that, Denny, because when I asked the group about, you know, keeping up with friends and whatever, a lot of expats will say, you know, they have these great friendships at home, but when they left to go away, things were a bit difficult, or that their friends at home don't want to know about their new lives or their new friends. Like, how you're not like that at all. Like, you're just not like that at all. But I'm trying to sort of think back to when Bonnie first left and it looked like her life was so different and she was meeting all these other people. Was it a feeling of, I really want to get over there and see what her life looks like so I can understand? Or how did you feel right when she first left?
You're kind of like, oh, my gosh, she's so far away. Yeah, I think it. Like, because especially when she came home in the summer and was showing you pictures and talking about the souks, and she brought all the stuff from the souks, and it's like, what the hell is the souks? So, yeah, I was definitely, like, curious. And, you know, just even seeing people walking around in their abayas and all that, like, that just doesn't happen here. So when you see...
But you were more interested. I think, is Christy, are you asking if she was more interested about what I was doing here or more, we drifted apart feeling, or she's jealous. Are you asking that?
Yeah. Because I know that Denny wasn't, but I want to know why she wasn't. Like, why it worked so successfully with you guys. Is it just because your friendship is so rock solid that Denny just always knew that she was never going to lose you? Like, what is it that made it work for you guys so well? Because for so many people it doesn't, right? It causes friction.
I think it's the interest that she had in it. Like, she was so interested to understand my life, because I never quit wanting to understand hers either. Like, and I always stayed a part of her life. But I think it's more that listening thing and being totally interested. I don't know. What do you think, Denny?
Well, yeah, and I think that, I think we're very secure with our friendship. Like, I don't ever think, oh, my God, she's going to find a new best friend and I'm going to be left out. It's just like, oh, yeah,
even a person or what?
Podcast. Like, Yeah, don't take that out of context.
Have you found me a replacement?
Yeah, like, you know, I'll joke with her. I'll say, oh, I got my new best friend so-and-so here. And she'll be off, you know.
And I'll write that. I've been replaced. But you know yeah. It's not true.
Yeah.
Never happened. Never.
No, because I don't think you find, like, for 35 years, well, for probably 33 of those 35 years, we've been best friends. And you just don't find those kind of people, those connections. I think if you have one in your lifetime, you've done well.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
And we allow each other to have other friends. We're not like these
girls. Yeah, we're okay with it.
Yeah.
But do you also think it's because Bonnie's always had a really healthy interest in your life as well, that she's always asked questions about what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It's not like, yeah, it does. We take interest in each other's life.
I love being part of her life. It's fun. They're my second family. You have to know.
There's a lot of people out there that are going to be listening, sort of trying to work on, how they get what you guys have got, or how they get to that stage. So what is your advice for how do you keep your friendship going when you're really thousands and thousands of miles away?
I think, make time, listen, be truthful in your interest, like be totally interested in their lives.
Laugh.
Make a lot of time, though, for them. You have to set aside time all the time. It's not easy, so you have to make that time happen. What else, Denny?
And, like, listening, and we kind of know, like, you know, you get to know each other well. You know what works, what does, like, I don't know, it's just like I can phone her in the worst mood and she'll say something so stupid or so funny that you're just like, oh, my God. Like, or I can...
And vice versa.
Yeah, like,
understand what they're going through, try to understand what they're saying, yeah.
Feel, yeah, and, you know,
gauge the call.
And I think that it just, like, when somebody means something that much to you, there's just a connection. And I don't know if you make it happen or if it's just you connect in a level that you don't with most other people, right? Like, we both have lots of friends, but but we don't have anybody like each other. And I think you recognize how fortunate you are when you have that.
Yeah, I phone other people in Canada also, and it's usually a shock call. Like, I phone them out of the blue, talk to them, but that's once a week. And I wouldn't even say that, once a month maybe, different friends. But you phone, you catch up, you have that, 1 hour call, but none of them are the daily call, the everyday call, the twice-a-day call. So there is other friends in different levels, but then you have that one that you phone every day.
And we know how lucky we are, because I think of all the friends I have and all the people I know, and I'm like, how did we meet and be able to understand each other the way we do and be able to be friends through everything and stay friends and like each other's kids and families? And
We have no expectations. We just are each other. Like, I don't expect, if Jenny can't talk to me, I don't get mad. It's like, I know she must be busy. You always try to understand their life. Or she texts back, busy now. It doesn't, I'm going, I don't take it personally. It's just like, she's busy.
Yeah,
she'll phone later.
It's
no expectations. It's just like, when she can, and it works out really well.
I don't know. There's just something about our friendship that is on a different level than any of my other friends. And even weird things like when Don passed away.
Bonnie was with you when Don died, and I was going to say, how do you think it would have been without her? Do you think you would have ended up just ringing her and saying, I need
over,
you?
Right. Like, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that she would have came over. Like, she would have came back. I know that. But the fact that she didn't have to, and it would have been, she wouldn't have got there that day, obviously. But I don't know. I can't even imagine going through that without her. Like,
Don't make me.
I don't know what. Like, it was just the family and all the extended family came and all his siblings and my siblings. Everybody was there, and I made everybody leave, and then I made Bonnie come in with me to the room because I was like, "This is something we're going to be talking about for the rest of my life, and you need to understand." And that's purely selfish, but I couldn't imagine doing that without her.
Wow.
At such a traumatic time, like for me, but for Bonnie too, because she was very close to Don.
Yeah.
Bonnie and Don had a really cool relationship as well.
Okay, so now when you think about Bonnie returning to Canada, how much does Denny play into the decision of where you're going to live?
What do you mean, live in the future? Or just
in the future. Like, do you think, live in the future, do you think, I want to go back and live somewhere where I'm in the same place as Denny, or where I'm in a couple of hours' range of her? Like, or do you just think that you'll always have this long-distance sort of friendship?
That's the hardest. I have no idea where I want to live. Like, so I don't think about that, because I think that life can change so many times. And we're going to build an old folks home that's going to be the funnest old folks home that we're going to live in. We've had this plan forever,
A
smoking room, a dance room. So we talk about that, but nothing's real. We're gonna have to.
She doesn't need to be close right now, because I could go to her. If she moves where she goes, we'll spend summers together, and I can go where she is. So I don't want her to come move back to Redcliffe yet, because then what are we gonna do? We'll do that when we're seniors. We're gonna get our old folks home and live together.
Wow! Now that is awesome. I mean, that's just so amazing. Just, I love them, and I couldn't tell them apart in the beginning.
Yeah, I need to say, and I should get a picture for us to put up, because Denny and Bonnie actually look exactly the same as well.
They talk very similarly.
Oh,
as well.
My gosh. They talk exactly the same. They look exactly the same. They wear the same clothes, and they are so similar. It's hysterical to watch them too.
Well, I just think, if you've got putting up on a pedestal what you think a friendship should be, I think they got it. I think they nailed it there. I mean, so secure in their friendship. They talk twice a day. Who does that in different time zones? And just crazy. I mean, awesome and amazing. I love it. I love how they say we're not worried about each other's friends. We let each other have other friends.
And one bit I had to cut out of the interview was Bonnie recently went on a holiday to the Philippines, and that is a really cool story within itself, because she has two women that come to her house once a week to do the cleaning, and they're from the Philippines, and Bonnie's been, giving extra money and contributing and doing whatever, and these women have been saying, oh, you know, we can buy a pig with that, and we can get some chickens with that, and we can add an extra room to the house with that. And so Bonnie has always said that one day she wanted to go there. So she went to their village, and she went and lived in their village, and she really did, and stayed at their house, and it was just incredible photos. But she took a different friend with her. And I said to them, she didn't take Daddy, she took Darlene. And so I said, you know, well, how was that? Well, they still spoke to each other throughout the whole period. And one of the cutest things was Danny said, oh, you know, I always keep, wherever she is, I keep that time zone on my phone so I know what time it is where she is. So when she went to, so when Bonnie went to the Philippines, she kept that time zone on her phone so she knew what time it was where Bonnie was.
Yeah, that was awesome. And she said, you know, when someone means that much to you, there's just a connection. I don't know if you make the effort or it's just there. So I think, you know, that they've obviously got a very, very deep friendship. You know, talked about husband passing away and, you know, being in the room. That's a tough place to be. So
I think that's amazing. I think, you know, because they talk so much, and, you know, Nikki, you and I just had a very quick chat about this before we started recording, because we were both really struck by that. And I was saying, you know, it was quite emotional to hear about that, the way that Denny described why she needed to have Bonnie in the room, that whole thing about, I knew that this was something we were going to have to talk about later, and I wanted her to understand. Yeah. And I just think that really shows the level of their friendship, and because I don't know what that would be like. I can't imagine being in that situation for a start. But yeah, they're incredibly tight. Is that, and is it also the fact that Bonnie was such good friends with Denny's husband that it then adds that extra layer?
Yeah, I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know. It's very, you know, it's such an experience to be in a room with someone when they're dying and when they do die. And I mean, I've done it. I mean, when my mum passed away, and it's one of those things that when it happens, people say, oh, you know, sorry, I'm sorry, it happened, and I've been there. And you know, the people who've been there, what they've been through. But until you do it yourself or be in that situation, there's no understanding. And with such a deep friendship as those ladies have, I can understand why they did it.
Yes.
I can understand that. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I just think it's fantastic. And you know, also great practical tips, like be interested, set time aside, listen to each other, and don't care don't get mad, have no expectations.
Yeah. And you know, that whole thing about, you know, you can message, you know, I'm busy, and, you know, they were talking about, because obviously their friendship has gone through different levels of contact while they've been busier. You know, Denny has maintained a full-time job and worked in a really busy industry, and, you know, they had a restaurant at a truck stop. And so, you know, they're working like 24/7, and, you know, and they've both had kids, and really busy kids. And so, you know, Denny talked about at one stage how she would text and, you know, kids still there, and Bonnie would say, oh, they'll be out of here in 15 minutes, you know, as if they'd be going off to school and stuff. And I think you're right. I think we could all learn a lot from Denny and Bonnie on, you have to genuinely be interested in your friend's life. You have to take a genuine interest in what their kids are doing. You have to make time to talk and you're busy, that's fine. We'll talk later, that's cool. Let's move on. You know, so often we sort of hear in the expat world of, you know, well, that friend doesn't care what I'm doing anymore. They don't care that I've moved across the other side of the world. They don't want to know anything about my life. But, you know, is it up to us just to try that little bit harder, you know, to talk about it and say, I still want to know all about your life, and I really hope you want to know all about mine.
Yeah, well, which is what one of our other people have said, you know, she just kept going, kept going. So one of the other people that had commented on the page, Joe Hunter, said, in my experience, my friends at home are polite in their interest in my life until they come and see me, and then they get it.
Yeah.
Which is what Bonnie and Denny did, you know, and she went, and then she said no to us, but no, you've got to go, because you've got to go know what I'm talking about now.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And she was saying, you know, what's a souk? I don't get it. And I remember the same thing, being in Libya and talking about going to the Medina, and a girlfriend finally looking at me and saying, I have no idea what you're talking about when you say you go to the Medina. And yeah, you have to really get your friends to come, don't you? You have to try and do everything you can to talk them into coming to have a look, come and see my life, see where I live, know what I do. And Bonnie has said to me, you know, because Bonnie's a friend of mine, and she has said the same thing about her kids, that the minute her kids have moved to, because they went off to university and they moved out of res and then they went into flats, and she was like, I need to get there and I need to be in their kitchen. And so, and she said, I'll say to them on FaceTime, just show me around, just turn the camera around so I can have a look at where you are right now. Do you know, because she wants that visual. She's a very visual person.
My mum used to always be the first person to visit us wherever we moved. She said, I want to know what you're talking about when you say the kids went to the bus stop. I want to know what that is, yeah, what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. Yeah. And your friends want to know too.
And I think too often we worry that we're being a bit braggy to our friends. And, you know, that was the thing with Denny and Bonnie, wasn't it? Because Denny had no malice, there was no jealousy. There was nothing. She was so happy for Bonnie. Like, she was saying, oh, wow, you've gone here. Oh, wow, you've seen that. And I think maybe we need to give our friends the opportunity to do that, to be happy for us, instead of going, oh, I don't want to look like I'm showing off that I'm here at this, you know, fancy hotel, or that I'm out here experiencing this desert adventure, or, you know, that I'm getting to see this amazing monument or whatever. Like, maybe let them join in with you. So, and this is when we get to Kerry, because I've just said all this stuff about how we need to try harder, but Kerry made a point that I know, Nikki, you are going to appreciate.
I mean,
and she said, is it weird that I'm not in regular contact with my best friends back home? We don't Skype, Facebook, WhatsApp regularly, but I know that we're solid and we always will be in each other's lives. She said she's known her friends forever and that they just pick up where they've left off each summer when she's home. And while they have very different lives on different continents and that they're in infrequent contact, they know and she knows that they're always in each other's thoughts, and that if anything happened to them or their families, that they'd be on the next flight home to be with them. And she says, you know, it's all about those special friendships that bind you, and that she's been away for 10 years and that they're still solid. And she says they've all been friends for 30 to 40 years. What do you think, Nikki?
Yeah, no, I'm in. Kerry, I'm with you. Kerry, let's start a club. But, okay, the other thing about that is, though, she goes home every summer. Obviously, she says every summer.
Yes.
Now, not everyone goes home every summer, and I'm one of those people that doesn't go home every summer. We go home every second year usually, and we may do that less now that we're here for various reasons. But so I think that it's great because once a year is a good touch point. But if it's more than that, then, you know, maybe you have to make the effort. But I'm all for, like, letting it fly and just hanging out when you get there. And to be honest, most people are really helpful. If you say, I'm coming in July for 3 weeks, I'm going to be in this town on these days, have you got any time for me? You know, most people do stuff really well. I mean, we've got one group of friends in Adelaide, and they've started a tradition where one couple hosts, like, whoever's available just turns up, and we just have these big pizza and wine dinners, and we can catch up with all the people at the same time, which is awesome. So I just think, you know, it's good. I'm with Kerry. And some of those people I don't speak to at all between the two times, but then I see them and it's like I just saw them yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. We do have those friends. But I do think that's true, but I also think it's tricky. You've got to be careful you don't lose those people. Do you know, friends where I go, oh, yeah, it's just like we caught up yesterday, but the truth of it is I really don't know if there's been great pain. Or, do you know, we've got to catch back up on that. It would be nice to be a helpful friend and a reliant friend, you know, to talk to in that time of need. But okay, let's move on to social media.
What are you listening to?
What am I listening to? Podcast for me this week. Nikki, have you been listening to Missing Richard Simmons?
No, and obviously I'm going to have to go because I hate you listening to things without me.
So Missing Richard Simmons came out last week, and I think the first episode is called Where is Richard? If there's any, is there anyone who doesn't know who Richard Simmons is?
No.
No. So he was the exercise guru, and it goes back and kind of revisits that for anyone who's, if you're not clear and you don't know who he is, they will go back and explain that. But he was someone that was a huge personality and incredibly loud and boisterous, and someone who was very open to his fans. And so people talked about when there were bus tours that would go past, you know, Hollywood homes, he would evidently come out and talk to, you know, 10 different bus trips a day. Like he was out there. But he's just gone missing. He's basically barricaded his house. He's not in contact with anyone. He no longer does his exercise classes, and he's disappeared. And this whole podcast is all about where is he? And what happened, and how do we find him? And what the guy who's making the podcast is hoping is that by the end of the podcast, they will have found Richard Simmons and they'll be able to talk to him. Now, what is weird about this podcast, and I want you to listen to it so you can tell me whether you two feel a bit weird about it, because the podcast is sponsored, like it's sponsored by Squarespace and all the usual, I'm not sure if Audible, but, you know, the usual suspects of, you know, big American sponsored podcast sponsorship. So this guy's making money out of it, and he's you know, supposedly a friend of Richard Simmons. And
he's a friend?
Yeah, and I think there's some kind of weird irony there of, you're talking about a guy who became a recluse when you're basically making money out of him by doing a podcast.
But can we be sure it's not really just just a fancy marketing campaign?
Oh yeah, we can't be sure of that at all. Yeah, we can't. I want you to listen to it and tell me what you think. Anyway, what are you listening to?
Of course, I'm going immediately to listen to it. We listen to a lot of podcasts in the car on the way to and from Prague, but there were sort of a lot of political ones and a lot of replays for the kids of their favourite old kind of ones. But this week I have listened to Tilt Parenting. Now, this is a podcast by a lady called Debbie Reba, and she is an American who lives in the Netherlands, so she is an expat. But that's not what her podcast is about. Her podcast is about raising differently wired kids. So when she moved to the Netherlands, she couldn't find a fit for her child schooling-wise, so she decided to homeschool. Now, I'm not into homeschooling at all, but I love, love, love this podcast. So basically, Tilt is a whole thing. It's a website and a podcast. It's just part of it. And it's intended to speak to parents raising kids with neurological differences that some way interfere with their day-to-day life while not severely impacting them. So it's all about the parenting journey. But I've been looking for resources for kids who are differently wired, like my son is, and I just found this podcast and I love it. And this week I listened to Sex Education for Differently Wired Kids, and it's fantastic. And maybe it's because I'm just out of my American sex education, which was like abstain. That was kind of it. That was kind of what we got. But it was just all about like how, and it wasn't really about necessarily different kids. It was just about talking about sex education to kids. And she spoke to an expert in the field and who happened to look into it and found that the European systems were the best. They start talking to kids about sex when they're sort of 4 and 5, and they say this is what sex is. So there's no shame in it all. So it's all sort of practicality. It's all sort of just answering information. So there's no, you know, I really enjoy the podcast, and I would suggest it for people who are looking for things about sex education or about differently wired kids. I really enjoyed it.
That sounds really good.
And I was looking mainly for expat support for those kind of things, but she's amazing because she doesn't, it's not really expat, it's anyone. You could be just living in your home country or you could be an expat and it still works. So I like it.
Great.
And the other one is The Full Catastrophe. There are a couple of new episodes of The Full Catastrophe, one by Sarah McDonald and one by Rebecca Huntley, who are the two hosts. The funniest one I heard this week was Sarah McDonald brings a tin of Taliban money to her daughter's school and then she gets sent to the principal's office and the police become involved and it's all very dramatic. And again, it's like 12 to 15 minutes, so it's quick and easy. So it's good. But that's kind of it for me this week on podcast. What about you? Television, Kirsty?
Anything? Television for me was I finally got around to watching the doco on The Minimalists. Are you a minimalist?
How's the house looking?
No different, unfortunately, but I do have some other ideas. But, yeah, I had heard of The Minimalists before because I think they had started as a blog, and they started as a blog and then turned into a podcast and then it became became a television doco. So two guys working in corporate America, one both being friends for years, one suddenly seems a lot happier and calmer. The other one says, hey, what are you doing that's making you so much happier and calmer? And he introduces him to his minimalist lifestyle. It is very good. It does make you think about all the shit you have. One of the things I'll go on and I'll talk about that when we do social media, but it has made me realise about the whole thing of stuff and not wanting too much stuff. I think too, I watched it just after my mother-in-law had been here, who is 78 and just lost her husband and sort of floats between two houses, and she was talking about how you just don't want any more stuff. You know, you get to this age where it's like, no more, no more. This is ridiculous. So it probably made me a bit conscious of it. I'm back watching Gogglebox, which I love, and I've talked about Gogglebox before, but I just want to reiterate that anyone that's not watching it because they think it's the most ridiculous show on earth because it's about people who are watching television. I just want to tell you it's so, so good. It actually makes me laugh out loud. It really makes me laugh out loud funny. And the other one really want to recommend is Newton's Law, which is on in Australia. You can watch it on ABC iView. I imagine if you had one of those VPNs which blocked your ID, your service.
You can pretend you're in another country, apparently.
Yes, apparently. If you had one of those, you could make, not that I ever would, but if you did, you could watch it and you'd be able to say that it's really, really good. Newton's Law has Claudia Kavan in it, and it also has the kid, and I'm really bad, I haven't written it down, but he was in the televised Puberty Blues that was on a few years ago on Channel 10, and he was the really sweet kid who was the surfing star. Anyway, he's in it and he's great. It's really, really good. What about you? What are you watching on telly?
I haven't watched any telly because we've been away, but before we went away, we went to a screening at school of the movie or documentary Screenagers. Which you can watch on YouTube. It's an hour and 7 minutes, so it's not that big a deal. I recommend that everyone with teens or tweens watch it with their children.
Wow.
I think it was amazing. I mean, I have a son who is really, he loves screens. He loves all sorts of screens or for all sorts of different reasons. And I have a daughter who's can take it or leave it, but so I can see, and then there's two totally different children, and they got totally different things out of watching it, which I think was great. So it's a documentary. It's an American documentary made by a woman who her daughter had a flip phone, you know, just for contact, you know, when her parents were at work and she was at school or traveling to and from school. And the flip phone broke, and so the mother went to get it replaced or repaired, and they laughed at her, ha ha, why would you repair a flip phone? And so her daughter wanted a smartphone. And then so they went through the whole thing, and they cover everything. They cover kids who are addicted, so that you know there's rehab for kids, and they cover all sorts of things. There were some great different stories on it. It's a really good documentary, and I would recommend it. Both my children were very impacted by it in different ways. And yeah, we just had three of our trip to Prague was screen time free except for Instagram, because we said we're going to a city with lots of things to look at. So we were allowed to have Instagram. Well, I tell you, my kids can tell you a lot more things about Instagram that they didn't used to know now, because the idea was just for them to have it, you know, for you anyway. But no, I really think it's really worthwhile.
So how did you police that it was only Instagram? How did you stop them from looking at anything else other than Instagram?
Everyone was looking over at each other's shoulder the whole time, because it was self-policing. And my daughter was on an Instagram chat, so she set up a family chat. She's sending us messages. I'm like, this is not the point. The point is to take photos of the pretty things and post them. So, and there was some cheating, Kirsty. You know I was cheating, but don't tell anyone.
You and I were cheating.
I said, it's for work. It's for my work. And as long as it's with my famous friend Kirsty, they don't mind. They talk about my famous friend Kirsty all the time.
Who is so not famous. okay, so social media, have you seen, and I only saw this morning and shared it, I should say it's Friday morning, which is our weekend at the moment in Feb, the latest Sydney gay and lesbian Mardi Gras video.
I haven't, because I'm still trying to get back into my, and I was trying to prepare for the podcast, but I saw it a lot of times on my Facebook timeline.
Yes.
So I did save it for later.
Yes, yeah, go see it. We will put it on the Two Fat Expats page, but it's very cute. It's got a great message about how coming out should be. And just on the minimalist theme, this came up in my social media line, and this goes back to watching the minimalist documentary. I saw an idea that for each day of Lent, and Lent is on March 1st, is the first day of Lent, you can remove one item from your home that you no longer need, and you put it in a big bag, and at the end of the 40 days, you donate the bag of items to your local Salvation Army. So I'm definitely going to be doing that. In my house, we will be getting rid of 40 things over Lent. You know, I know a lot of people give up chocolate for Lent and do whatever, but I think this is at least this is a way that I can give something to someone who needs it more than me.
It's much better than giving up wine. I'm with you.
God, nobody wants to know me without wine.
The first year I moved into America, all my neighbours gave up wine and chocolate for Lent. I was like, what good are you? I can't be friends with all you people. I can't drink wine in front of you or eat chocolate.
What did you see on social media?
Yeah, okay, social media. So I saw the dads and daughters ballet video. Did you see that?
Yes, it's very cute.
I think everyone's seen it, but I'm just going to put the link in the show notes anyway, because I just thought it was gorgeous. And even the older girls. So it was very cute with the younger girls and then the older ones who were lovely ballerinas and then their dads trying it out. It was very
Yeah,
cute.
It was. Dads in tutus are always good. And we also have an article that we're going to put up on twofatexpats.com. It's an article about long-distance friendships. Announcements this week, Nikki Moffat.
Kirsty, would you like to make an announcement?
We have two big FedExpat meetups coming up. Two. So our first one will be in April in Dubai, and we'll have details to follow. And our second one will be in Shanghai in May. So we will be out and about, and we'll give more details as the weeks go on. But yes, if you're in Dubai, get ready and look out for us, because we're coming in April. And
I'm only coming if there's sunshine. That's it.
It'll be hot. It will be so hot by then.
Excellent.
There's always a weekend that we have a baseball tournament in Dubai that weekend, and baseball/softball, and it's always bloody hot. So I can promise you it will be hot. Now, I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Shanghai in May. You'd know more about that than I would, Nikki Moffat.
I think it's going to be quite hot. Ooh, as well.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit humid.
Yeah. So I definitely know the weekend in May is May 13th, Saturday, May 13th. we think we'll get together. Because what are we doing on Sunday, May 14th, Nikki Moffat?
Oh, on Sunday, May 14th, Kirsty Rice, I think there's, I don't know, there's a football team, yes. Some kind of Australian rules match in Shanghai.
Yes. Oh, dear. Port Power will play the Gold Coast Suns. And
does it really matter who they're playing?
No. Although Gary Ablett plays for the Gold Coast Suns, so that's always good to see. Okay, Nikki, I think just quickly, because we've been going for ages, can we please ask people to leave us a review or a rating on iTunes? We would love it. We actually made it back into the charts again this week, which was fantastic. I think we were at number one for the travel section in Australia.
We were.
So, yeah, if you could leave us a rating or a review on iTunes, that helps us greatly. Or just come over and pop a message on the toothfatexpats.com website by pushing the microphone and leaving a voice message, or you can catch us in all of the usual places on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. And we're big on Instagram this week. We've got lots of lovely feedback for the friendship episode as well. So yay for that. So see you all on one of those places very soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.